Before we jump into today's episode, I want to tell you about our brand new Empower Her Sound workshop series, which will kick off in September and go through to November 2023. Each three-hour workshop will focus on a particular topic, including production in September, mixing in October, and music business in November. These workshops have been designed for anyone who is interested in learning to produce, mix, and monetize their music, and you don't have to have any previous knowledge to attend. So if you're very much a beginner, we would love to see you here. For our podcast listeners, we have created a very special discount, which makes each three-hour workshop only $5. To get this discount, all you have to do is go to the link in the show notes, select the group ticket, and use the discount code EMPWR50. Thanks, and I look forward to seeing you in the workshops.
What am I saying?
This is MPW,
the podcast
with your host, Zylo Aria.
Cool.
A podcast about music production
for the everyday musician,
where we learn from experienced studio engineers and each other.
Dina Basil is the founder of TB Access and also the event manager for Groove Tunes. She is a passionate advocate for inclusivity and accessibility in the music industry. As a person who uses a wheelchair, Dina has lived experience of the Australian music industry's gaps in accessibility. She recently was recognised at the Australian Women in Music Awards when she won the inaugural Tina Arena Special Impact Award. Welcome to this episode, Dina. It's lovely to have you and to chat to you today. So how's your Friday been so far?
Thank you. I'm really excited. I love sort of having, you know, new conversations with new people about what we do. My Friday is great. The sun is out, so I'm a happy girl.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah, no, always good to get a bit of sun, especially coming out of winter. It's good to get those sunny days in and to make the most of it. So tell me, Dina, I'd love to chat to you and get into our topic shortly, but I'd love to learn a little bit more about you first. So where did things start for you in your career in music, and how did you end up doing your amazing work that you're doing today?
Started many, many moons ago when I went to JMC Academy in Queensland, back in Brizzy, and I studied entertainment management, and I did that was like a two-year degree, and I dabbled in everything sort of as you do when you work in the music and arts industry, but I hadn't really found my passion or anything that really stuck, I don't know, that much interest for me. And I am a person with lived experience of disability, so I'm empowered wheelchair user full-time. And I've been going to live music events my whole life. Like, I think my first show when I was maybe 11, and it was the Pussycat Dolls, and I loved it. I thought it was amazing. And so I kind of fell in love with the music industry. And, you know, I was thinking, what do I want to do with my career? What do I want to do with my life? And it was kind of a light bulb moment for me in that I've done this degree. I have all this background knowledge of the ins and outs of the creative industries and how everything works. But on top of that, I also have lived experience of the lack of accessibility in the industry. And I thought, I need to put the two together, and then I need to fill the gap in the industry, because there was such a big gap with accessibility in the music and arts industry. So that was sort of where TB Access was born. So TB is a specialist access consultancy. We focus on everything under the creative industries umbrella, and it's been a wonderful several years of having, you know, the company and running it and meeting incredible people and making really incredible change.
Oh, I love that. That's such a beautiful thing that you've done, and that is impacting, I'm sure, so many people and improving the industry in such an important way. So I love that you saw this opportunity based on yourself and the challenges that you've had experienced and just gone on to improve the space around you. So I love that.
Oh, thank you.
And can you tell me one event in your life that you feel like you have learned the most from?
Oh, that's a really hard question. you learn so much from all events, because we work on like really small community events, but then we also work on really large, you know, stadium-sized shows. So it's really hard to pick one. I think for me, as like a career highlight and what really helped me get my name off the ground was working for Big Sound. So I did Big Sound's accessibility for a number of years, and that really helped me grow and really helped me understand accessibility and what it can look like, because there's so many moving parts to Big Sound and there's so many venues that are involved. It was really, really cool kind of building up their accessibility from the ground up and helping it to become what it is today. So I've probably learned the most from Big Sound, I would say, but it's really hard to kind of focus on one, because I've also worked on some really wonderful community events and I've worked with some amazing artists and venues that have taught me a lot along the way too.
Yeah. Oh, so always learning. That's great. That's
always
great.
Learning, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, having just come back from Big Sound, my goodness, that would be a humongous undertaking because, like you said, so many different venues that all look quite different and their layout is very different, and there would be so many things to think about. So I'm sure that was a huge, huge learning experience.
It really was, but it was also, it's one of the things that I'm like really, really proud of that we've achieved in that when I first started with Big Sound, their accessibility was a lot less to what it is now. And I've seen so many things being implemented from the work that we've done, and it's really, really nice to see.
That's beautiful. Love that. So can you tell me, Dina, a random fact about yourself that maybe not that many people in the industry know about you?
Something really random. I used to live in New Zealand when I was like quite young. Most people don't know that about me, and doesn't really come up in conversation.
Yeah.
I hate the cold, but I live in Melbourne. I moved from Queensland to Melbourne. Which everyone that knows that thinks I'm absolutely bonkers for, but I love it.
Yeah.
So it's really nice.
Okay. That's good. I actually did the opposite move to you. I moved from Melbourne to Queensland, mainly because I am not a fan of the cold. So I'm pretty happy with that decision so far. Oh, no, that's good. So let's talk a bit about accessibility in the music industry then, Dina. So can you tell me what are the main areas of the industry that you feel need to be better adapted for or to account for artists with disabilities?
I think when we look at accessibility, there's obviously a lot of moving parts. There's the audience side of things, but then people often forget about the musicians and the musicians with lived experience that need support. I think it just in general, lack of knowledge is a really big barrier. I think to accessibility, people, when they think about disability and accessibility, they think about a wheelchair and a wheelchair user. And that, I guess, is normal because the universal sign for accessibility and disability is a wheelchair. So naturally that's what people think about, but the umbrella is so much wider than that. So I think lack of education and lack of knowledge is a really big barrier in the music and arts industry and just sort of in the world in general. And for people to understand disability and take on, you know, disability awareness training is really important to help them to know how to support their audience members and artists moving forward.
Okay. So yeah, really good point you mentioned there about thinking about the audience but not really thinking about the artist and making sure that the stage is also a place that is accessible for people with experience as well. So speaking of that, actually, I recently met an artist who was doing a lot of live shows, and she mentioned that she felt really uncomfortable to mention to the venue that she did have a disability and felt like she may be excluded from the lineup or the gig if she made that public, and always kept that under wraps and tried to look like she didn't have that. So what would you say if an artist is in that position and feeling like they can't be upfront about it?
It's definitely not an uncommon feeling. I've had so many conversations with different artists who are in the same boat, who just don't feel comfortable disclosing that they have access requirements. So one of the tips that we encourage both from venues and bookers, but also the artists, is you're always submitting a rider as an artist and whatever you need on your rider. So include an accessibility rider in that. So you can say, you know, for access reasons, I require, you know, a step-free entrance, or I require a quiet space or noise-canceling headphones or whatever it might be that's going to help you. It's just, I guess, a sideways to tell someone that you have access requirements without directly feeling like you have to disclose your disability or your access requirements. You know, and same thing goes for venues and bookers as well. When you're sending out your forms to musicians, just put in there an extra line, if you have any access requirements, you know, include them below. And again, that's a really friendly, I guess, invitation to let artists know that you're there to support them for whatever they might need.
Oh, yeah, that's a lovely, subtle way to say that you are inclusive and are happy to accommodate as is needed. So that's a great thing to consider. And if you are working with an artist with some form of disability, are there any recommendations that you have to make that session as comfortable as possible for the person, or is it quite dependent on the requirements of that person?
And I mean, it's definitely dependent on the person's access requirements. Like I said, the umbrella of disability is so varied. So people's access requirements are obviously varied. But I think just being able to have that conversation with the artist, any artist in the first place, to help them to feel comfortable to disclose what they need. So, you know, saying, hey, I know, you know, we're going to the studio on Saturday. I just want to check, do you have any, you know, access requirements or anything I need to be aware of? And a lot of the time there might be, there needs to be an accessible bathroom or step-free access or a quiet space. And that way it gives you as well enough time to plan ahead. If you know that an artist needs an accessible bathroom available, you know that you need to find a recording studio that has an accessible bathroom.
Okay, cool. No, it sounds like just taking some time to prepare can be very helpful for everyone involved. And when we talk about accessibility, especially from the perspective of a venue that maybe is starting to think about this now, immediately they might think of the costs related and the expenses that are required to accommodate. And are there any recommendations that you have for sort of quick and easy wins that they can achieve, which can be cost effective to start with?
Like you said, I think one of the other barriers that we come across, you know, people concerned with finances and costs and how much it's going to be to put in ramps and rails and accessible toilets, that there's a lot of parts of accessibility that are quick and easy wins. So having information on your website is so important. And such a quick and easy win. Every time a person is planning to go to a show, regardless of if you have a disability or not, they're doing research online. So providing information online helps us as people with lived experience plan ahead and be able to come to shows. So providing info online is a really great quick and easy win. Something that we do at our event, so we run a yearly event called Groove Tunes. Something that we do at our event is we add a lowered bar to, I guess, the standard bar. So standard bar height is usually up to your chest. But for a person who might be using a wheelchair or a scooter, or a person who is short stature, they can't reach up to the bar to bring down our drinks. So we added a little trestle table to the end of the bar, threw a black cloth over it, put a sign that said accessible bar, told the staff, hey, if anyone is at this table, you know, you just need to serve them at a lower table. And that was our lowered bar. Cost us nothing to do that. Another quick and easy win that we really love is lyric videos. So people, you know, often for deaf and hard of hearing community will use Auslan interpreters, but sometimes Auslan interpreters can, one, be really costly, but two, it's a misconception that all deaf and hard of hearing people know Auslan. Auslan is a language within itself, and let's say a person acquired their disability later on in life and they never learned Auslan, they may not understand Auslan. So we also create lyric videos for all of our artists, and we have them up on a projected screen beside the artist as they're performing. And we think it's, one, a really great access feature. It costs nothing, but also if artists are creating their own lyric videos, it gives them an opportunity to be really creative, you know, with their sounds. Like if we think early 2000s, before a song was released, an artist would release their lyric video. And they were really cool. They were really fun. So we're trying to bring those back, but from an access standpoint.
Okay. So many things that you mentioned there, which can be very easily implemented quite quickly. And I never thought of that, that not everyone understands the language that people have put in place to help deaf and hard of hearing people. And yeah, lyric video, it's just another great asset to have to use in different ways. So why not use it as an accessibility feature?
Yeah, and that's what we really like to preach, is that accessibility isn't this big scary thing that, you know, you can't afford. There's so many things that can be done to support you in becoming more inclusive and more accessible. And as a business, you set a budget every year. So, you know, continue to set those goals, but in the meantime, tick those, you know, quick and easy wins so that you can continue to work towards being more inclusive.
Love that. It just, for someone that might feel it's a bit daunting to think about, can make it a lot easier to start processing and putting these things in place. So that's great. And then talking from the perspective of festivals, and diversity is talked about a lot these days, and as something that we at MPW are working really hard towards, you know, contributing to, especially in the recording and production space in music. But when we talk about lineups in festivals, and this was something you mentioned earlier, that people that do have access requirements can somehow sometimes get left behind in these conversations. So are there any resources or recommendations that you have for festivals to help bring people with disabilities into the picture when talking about diversity?
I mean, definitely it's so important to give our artists opportunity on, you know, the big stages. I'm really excited to be launching a new project, and that's all I can say at this point. So I recommend people to sort of keep an eye on our website and see, because it's obviously related to musicians and artists, but we also run blogs very often. And in those blogs, we talk about, you know, up and coming artists with lived experience. So keeping up to date with what we speak about. Music Victoria are really active in, you know, Amplify Awards, for example, which is an award that is dedicated to artists with who are deaf and disabled, and, you know, giving them a chance to have a platform, you know, on the stage. So looking through their artists, you know, looking through Spotify playlists of artists with lived experience. There's so many resources out there. It's kind of like, the way that I think about it is, if you are running a jazz festival, for example, and you need to find jazz musicians that are based in Sydney, for argument's sake, you're going to do research, you're going to look into, you know, different jazz festivals and what their lineups are and who they've got. And it's exactly the same, you know, for artists with lived experience. You know, I mentioned GrooveTunes earlier. GrooveTunes puts on majority of our lineup artists with lived experience. You know, we find artists through Spotify, we find artists through social media. It's just about knowing, you know, how deep to dive on the internet, but also having conversations with people as well, and saying, hey, you know, I'm looking for an artist that might identify, you know, with having a disability or, you know, whatever it might be. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, someone will know someone who will know someone who is that artist that you're looking for.
No, good point there. And it's something that we see as well when it comes to getting more women into production spaces or finding female producers for people's projects, it just requires a little bit more information searching. And if someone is willing to just put in that extra time, then you probably can have a more diverse roster of producers. But often it seems like people just resort to the first person that they think of, which, you know, is maybe not the most diverse, in a sense, artist, and then just kind of stop there. So it seems like a similar thing that you mentioned there about just a little bit of research and finding the right person. And like you said, if you're putting on a specific type of event, you're probably going to need to do that research anyway. So it's just maybe changing the search a little bit.
That's exactly it. And I think that's, you know, when it comes to just access as a whole, I think people overthink it, but it's the same as you would do anything else. You know, if you need to implement a lift into your venue, you'll Google it. You know, if you need to find artists with lived experience, you're going to do research around it. If people are, you know, wanting to come to an event, they need information, you provide that information online, and you do the same with your access information. It's all provided online. So it's not scary, is what I'm trying to say. Accessibility is not scary.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that message, and it's a good one to put out there. And like a simple thing of just adding a page to a website is such an easy win. And now that I think about it, and I haven't sadly thought about it, but, you know, why doesn't every website just have that? Like, it's such an easy thing to do.
No, we're getting there slowly, which is really nice.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. And thank you to your work to getting there as well, and for opening up this topic in the context of our podcast as well. And I know we spoke a little bit about your event, Groove Tunes, that you run once a year, but were there any additional things aside from the bar and a few things that you mentioned there that you might want to add as things that you've specifically implemented in this event?
We implement a lot to Groove Tunes. So we are an inclusive and accessible show, and we hold it at the Corner Hotel in Melbourne. The Corner is not the perfect venue access-wise, but we've done that. We've chosen it on purpose because we want to show that regardless of what your venue looks like, implement all these, again, quick and easy wins. I sound like a broken record, but that, you know, the messaging is so important. So we've got obviously what we've spoken about already, which is the accessible bar, the lyric videos. We have Auslan interpreters at our event as well. We also have a really cool piece of technology, which are haptic vests. And essentially people who are deaf and hard of hearing will usually wear these vests, and the vests connect to an IEM system, and it vibrates along with the bass of music. So it's like an additional...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's an additional sensory element for people who are deaf and hard of hearing to like feel the music. Because a lot of the time deaf and hard of hearing people will stand near the amplifiers and the speakers so that they can feel the bass. But now they can like really feel the bass, you know, in their chest and in their stomach and in their back. It's such an innovative, amazing piece of technology. So we have those at Groove Tunes. We also have artists with lived experience that showcase. We have, you know, all the information provided online that artists and punters will need. We have volunteers on site that support all of our punters that come through. The list goes on. I could go on about it forever, but it's such an incredible event. We've grown such a wonderful fan base, you know, around it as well, which is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that sounds incredible. And it's so great to hear as well that you've chosen a venue that's not perfect for it, but managed to transform it for this event in a way that shows that every venue has the capacity to do that.
Oh, yeah. And they've been so incredible, so open-minded, you know, in working with us, which is amazing.
It's now time for our speed quiz, Dina. Are you ready?
I'm nervous. I'm so nervous. I have no idea what's going.
Yeah. Oh, everyone finds this nerve-wracking, but it's okay. We'll get through it, and it's just five quick fire questions, and you just have to pick one or the other. So, would you rather lose all your money or lose all your memories?
Oh, no. Money.
Money, yeah. Would you rather never be able to go out during the day or never be able to go out during the night?
Oh, never go out. Oh, no, during the night, I think.
Oh, yeah, during the night.
I love the sun. I love the sun too much, but, like, gigs always happen at nighttime, so I don't know. I'm going to say okay. Night.
All right, night.
Never go out during the night. Oh, that's so sad. I'm going to get cancelled from the industry for saying that.
You're fine. Would you rather listen to a song with great lyrics but terrible melodies or terrible lyrics but great melodies?
Terrible lyrics but great melodies.
Okay. Okay.
I think that already exists in the world.
Yeah. Well, perhaps. And would you rather give up the internet for a year or not listen to music for a year? And streaming platforms is okay.
On the internet for a year. It's going to be a long year, but I can do it.
Yeah, I think you can. And would you rather watch nothing but Christmas movies or nothing but horror movies?
Nothing but Christmas movies.
Yeah, cool. I'm probably the same.
That's easy. I can't do horror.
Me too.
I think Harry Potter is scary, so I can't do horror.
Oh, it's so funny you mentioned that. I actually watched Deathly Hallows like on my own at some stage, and I had to turn it off for a little while because I was like, I can't do this. It's pretty scary.
So scary.
Yeah, no. Okay, so we're both on the same page on that one. So that was very good, Dina. I'll say it wasn't the speediest of our quizzes, but it was still pretty good.
Sorry. I tried.
You did. No, it was a great effort. So coming to our top tips, can you tell me what is your one top career tip?
Keep showing up. I think keep showing your face is like so important. Over the last few years, I go to every networking event. I show up to every meeting, every workshop, so that people see me everywhere. And I know that sounds really like obnoxious, but it's so important because now, you know, when people are looking for an access consultant, they go, hang on, I met Dina at this event, or Dina was at this panel, or Dina was at this or that, and you kind of become the first thing that pops into people's minds. So keep showing up, even if it's the smallest event. You just don't know who's going to be there, who could connect you to the next person and the next person.
So true. Yeah, no, it's a very good point. And you could have the best product or service ever, but if you're not putting yourself out there, then no one will think of you as the first person when their need comes up for it. So that's,
Every single interview offer that we get, we large and small, because again, you don't know who's listening, you don't know who's paying attention, you don't know who's reading what blog or, whatever it is.
So true. Yeah, no, great tip there. And can you tell me what is your one top self-care tip?
For me, it's taking time just to reset when I need to, and recognizing when you need to reset. So for me, I love the beach. I sound like I hate Melbourne or something. I love the beach, and I miss it a lot, coming from Queensland. So anytime I just need a moment, I'll find, somewhere where there's, a body of water, and just, enjoying nature and enjoying the sunshine when we get it.
I'm a bit unsure about your move, Dina, but as long as you are good with it.
No, I'm not selling it. I love Melbourne. I do.
Okay. All right. So get to the beach when you can and find some time to reset. No, very good tips there. And can you give me your top general life tip?
I think I'm just going to repeat it again. Recognize when you need time, whether it's, you know, time away from work, time away from certain people in your life, time away from, you know, whatever it is, just to look after you and to reset when you need it. Because sometimes we're just on the go so much that we forget that we're humans and we, you know, need to reset. I don't know.
Yes. Oh, no, for sure. For sure. There was a quote that I saw once. I'm not sure where exactly, but it was along the lines of, when you press stop on a machine, they stop. But when you press stop on a human, they start. So I think it was along that lines, or maybe it was pause. So just kind of taking the time to pause, and it's necessary to keep you, yeah, to keep you sane and going, really.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, very good. Very good points there as well. So thank you so much for your time, Dina. And I've learned a lot through this chat as well. And I hope that a lot of people can listen to this and think of their quick wins wherever they are in the industry to be more open and able to provide some accessibility features for whoever needs it.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for chatting to you today. It's been really fun.
Yeah. Great. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your weekend, Dina.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. My biggest three takeaways from the episode with Dina was, firstly, that accessibility doesn't have to be scary. If you are a venue looking to be more accessible, there are some really quick and simple wins that you can implement to make your venue more accessible. My second biggest takeaway was that venues can very easily add a website to their page that has some accessibility information. This can be very useful for someone with a disability when they're planning their trip to the venue. My last takeaway was that anyone with a disability that's feeling a little bit scared to mention the disability to a venue can more subtly mention it through an accessibility rider to mention what their needs are. That's it from us this week. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and we look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks.